look at Abraham. Let's look at your forefather. Let's look at who you keep up on this pedestal. How was he made right with God, he says? Was he made right by the law? By works? Oh, he says, well, it can't be that. For what reason? Well, what was the reason? He says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to... Oh, thank you. I knew you'd come up with it. He hath whereof to glory. In other words, he can boast. If you think you're saved by how good you are, then you'll stand before God and say, well, God, I got your boy. Was I not good? And you know what he'll say? Oh, there's none good. I'm sorry. You had it wrong. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, that's, if you don't understand the bad news, you'll never appreciate the good news. If you don't understand what happened at Calvary, you'll never appreciate hallelujah to the Lamb that was slain for us. If this world won't accept the fact that they're sinners, they'll never understand the fact that he's a Savior. Because he only come to save sinners. So if you don't believe you're a sinner, if you don't believe you're a sinner, then you won't see him as a Savior. If you don't see him as a Savior, you will be in hell. I say you, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Anyone that doesn't, that's their destination if they see not. Now, I realize there's this thing today, this gospel that is so-called gospel. But Paul said, if anybody preach a gospel different than what I'm preaching, bless God, whether it be an angel from heaven or me or anybody else, let them be accursed. Let them go to hell. That's what he said. I mean, we'll get there. Don't worry. I can show it to you. I don't make it up. But we've got this gospel today. It's called a gospel that you can accept him as Savior, but not necessarily as Lord. In other words, you can be he can be your Savior, but somewhere down the road you can receive him as Lord. Now, I would be okay with that, except it's contrary to Scripture. Thomas said, you remember when Thomas come in and he said, touch, you know, reach your hand out here and touch his scars. Did he? No, he didn't. No, you'll never see where he touched him. He just saw him. And you know what he said? My Lord and my God. Listen, he's either your Lord and your Savior, or he's neither. He's neither. He doesn't come one way and then later on he comes. No, you get him all at one time or you don't get him. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. So he says, "What? Let's look at Abraham." He says, if he were, what does the Scripture say? He says, well, the Scripture says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. In other words, when Abraham believed God, you remember, and I took you back to Genesis 15 to where that was said. Genesis 15:6 is the verse. But what you remember, I gave you the circumstances around it. God had made him a covenant. God had made him a promise that his seed would be as the stars of the heaven and that his seed would be in captivity and then they would be brought out. He told the whole story. And then he did what? He had him make he took the sacrifice. Remember, he took the animal and he split it in two. Remember? That's how he made the and he and the Lord walked between those carcasses and they made a covenant, right? No, they didn't. You don't listen at all. The Lord put him to sleep. Look, You can't make a covenant with God. Why? Bless God, you can't keep it. You can't tell God, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll get there. You can't do that. You're in the flesh. You can't keep a promise to God like that. Look, if God wasn't merciful, he would have said, okay, I'm going to save you. Now it's up to you. But he's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. He said, I'll tell you what. I'll get you out of the picture. All you got to do is believe me. I'll walk between the carcass. I'll make the covenant. All you got to do is come to me. Is that what Scripture says? All who call upon the name of the Lord shall. Now listen, that word saved is what we call a perfect tense. Y'all know what a perfect tense is? You remember your English back years ago? A perfect tense means that you have been saved, you are saved, and you're going to be saved. You're saved. Why? Because we can live right then. How many of you have lived right since you got saved? I mean perfectly right. Raise your hand. Why, no one, right? No one. No one. Because you're in the flesh. So God's not counting on your ability. He's counting on his ability. What did Paul say? Paul said, for I am persuaded that we are able. Oh, thank you, brother. I appreciate when y'all correct me. I'm persuaded that he's able to do what? He's keeping it. He made the promise to you. All he wants you to do is believe him. That's all. Just believe him. Not with your head. Here. And so he said, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because God gets the glory that way. I told you that God doesn't save you for you. Can I tell you, can you understand that? God doesn't save you for you. God doesn't save you so you can have a better life here. God doesn't save you for anything other than his glory. He gets the glory. You get the benefits. Hey, like that. Hey, listen, I'll give him the glory and I'll take the benefits. What's the benefits? Being in his presence. That's a pretty good benefit, isn't it, Vernon? But it won't be because we've done anything, folks. Otherwise, we'd have room to boast. And he says, not for God you won't. God forbid that you won't. So then he comes on up there and he says that he is he justifieth the ungodly. Remember we left off there. And what that's saying is, if you're not right with God, you're without God, right? And if you're without God, you're ungodly. Now, I know that we sort of say ungodly people sometimes in a negative sense, right? It's not really in a negative sense. It's just where they are. If they don't have God, they're without God. They're ungodly. I know people that don't have God that, my goodness, I'd love to have as a neighbor. They're, according to our standards, they're good people. They wouldn't harm a flea, as we used to say. But that's not the standard, not harming a flea. The standard is believing God. And what do we believe about God? Well, that's where I want to go this morning. I want you to turn to Psalms 32. Psalms 32. Everybody do a backflip when you're there. Okay, I see no backflips, so I'm going to go ahead. All right. Now, here's what it says. Blessed is he whose transgression, give me a synonym for transgression. Thank you. Sin. So let me read it again. Blessed is he whose sin is, now, you know, that's the positive side. But for every positive, there is a negative. So what would the negative say there? Well, the negative would read this. Not blessed is he whose sin is not forgiven, whose sin is not covered. See, there's always the positive and the negative. What do you want? Do you want the positive where your sin is forgiven and you're blessed? I'll give you that word in a minute in the Hebrew. Oh, you'll like it. You'll like it. Everybody will like it. I'll like it. Everybody's going to like it. But he says blessed. But the opposite of that, listen, if the world chooses not to be blessed, folks, they'll be not blessed. And not blessed won't be good for them. I can tell you that. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Now, what did he say about Abraham? He said, Abraham believed God, and he imputed unto him righteousness. In other words, if you believe God, God puts in your inventory righteousness. And with that righteousness comes what? Forgiveness of sin. So if you don't have righteousness in your inventory, what is in your inventory? Unrighteousness. Remember, if it's ungodly, it's without God. If it's unrighteous, it's without righteousness. So you're either one or you're the other. God doesn't give an in-between, folks. There's not more. There's only two ways to go. The right way. You remember when he gave the two ways. He gave a narrow way and a... He gave a straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And then he gave wide is the gate and broad is the way. That's it. I could read it like this. Righteous is the way that leadeth to life everlasting. Unrighteousness is the way that leadeth to destruction. It's the same thing. I've not heard Scripture. It's the same. Listen, remember, I've given you this more times than I can count, but it's the key to Scripture, folks. He says, I have set before you this day blessing and cursing. You'll be blessed, and how do you get blessed? Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, right? So you can either have the blessing through forgiveness of sin, or what do you get with not forgiveness of sin? Cursing. In other words, that's it. Choose. But we've got this so perverted now. We got more ways to God than you can count. We've got people so disjointed. They don't know the right way. Because they're told there's more than one way. No, there's not. What did Jesus say? He said, I am the way. So if he's the way, and how does he finish that? Thank you, brother. No man cometh to God but by me. Now, you reckon that means what it says? No man, no one, no woman, no girl, no boy, no man, no one, nobody, no person. I'll get PC. No person. Nobody. No one. Folks, that's serious. Unless a person comes the right way They're going the wrong way. Unless a person is right with God, they are wrong with God. So he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. What's he talking about there? When I tried to hide my sin, I got sick. You know, I really believe a lot of sickness is brought on by unconfessed sin. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm talking about it could be physically sick or it could be mentally sick, but I believe a lot of times unconfessed sin will cause you to be sick if you're a child of God, because it weighs on you. It wears on you. It gets you down. It did this man. He's a man after God's own heart. And he says, boy, my bones waxed old all day. Why? He says, for day and night thy hand was your hand was heavy on me, Lord. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. My mouth got so dry I couldn't spit. Then what did he do? Well, he did what anybody should do. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. Let me tell you something, folks. I realize that we're in the flesh and we sin. But you just try to hide it. You might hide it from me. I might hide it from you. There ain't nobody going to hide it from God. And I don't count. And you don't count. Huh? What counts is what God sees in your life. He knows for sin. And let me tell you something. If you're his child, his hand's going to be heavy on you. Huh? You can just whistle by the graveyard all you want to. It's going to catch up with you if you're his child. Now, if his hand's not heavy on you, you're not his child. That'd be like my daddy whipping our neighbor's children. He wanted to sometimes, I'm sure. But you don't do that. You don't go over and discipline your neighbor's children, do you? Well, no, they'd lock you up for one thing. God doesn't discipline somebody else's child. Hello? Well, there's only two children in the world. They said, we be the children of Abraham. What does that mean? Well, no, bless God, they ain't no children of Abraham. All children of Abraham's dead. What he said was, you're not the child of Abraham, for if you were the children of Abraham, you would believe me. But because you don't believe me, you're a child of Satan. Oh, they hate him for that. They hate him for calling them children of Satan. But that's the bad news. If they would have taken that bad news when he said it and said, oh God, we don't want to be children of Satan. Make us your children. I would have. He would have. So David says, I acknowledge my sin and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. What does it mean to confess your sin to God? What does that mean? Huh? Repent? Well, there's a sense of that, huh? Remove it? Okay. Okay. Huh? Well, saying you're sorry, that's a part of it. Let me put it to you this way, see if this rings a bell. Let's say that, Scott, I'm going to pick on you. Let's say Scott murders Helen. You just murdered Helen. Sorry, Helen. And they bring you down to the jail, and the detectives come in. What do you think they want Scott to do? Huh? They wouldn't have brought him down there if they didn't have the evidence. They know what's done. They want Scott to tell them what he's done. Right? So confessing your sin to God, listen, God knows what you've done. You, it's not like I got to tell God this so he'll know. No, God wants you to confess your sin for you, so that you know what you've done. Now, turn to 51, Psalms 51, real quick. Here's what you do when you're confessing. Psalms 51. Everybody's familiar with this Psalms. Oh, this, you never, listen, this is hallelujah to the Lamb time. This is good stuff. That's what, I got to quit saying that. My brother came up with that term, and I've got to quit saying that. He'll think I'm trying to steal his, you know, plagiarizing. Is that what they call it, plagiarizing? Yeah, plagiarizing. Have mercy upon me, O God. What does that infer? Huh? No. Let me ask you this. If I said, I'll go over here to Henry. I picked on Scott. If I said to Henry, Henry, give me $20. I'd have to believe Henry's got $20. Otherwise, I'm pretty stupid. You know what I mean? You got $20, don't you? Yep. I mean, you'd have to be pretty stupid to ask somebody for something that you don't believe they have. Well, what David is saying, he's saying, oh God, I know you have mercy. I need you to give it to me. So he says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy... Why does he say that? Let's think for... I just try to get you to think with me. What is mercy? If you show somebody mercy, what is mercy? Well, that's a part of it. That's the result of it. Now we're starting to get somewhere. Compassion. But compassion moves a little deeper to a word starting with P. The second letter is I. The third letter is T. What? You want God to pity you. Why would you want somebody to pity you, Linda? Because you're... Thank you. I knew. I was trying to help you out, honey. Listen, we need the pity of God because we're pitiful folks. I'm going to tell you what. If you've got sin, you're pitiful. You need pity. All right, remember I told you where there's a positive, there's a... negative. All right, so let's read the negative end of that. Oh God, don't show me mercy. Don't show me loving kindness. Don't show me according to thy tender mercies and blot out my transgression. Well, if you don't ask him to, that's what you're saying to him. You say, well, Tom, no, if you don't say it. Listen, if you're not asking for mercy, bless God, you're asking for wrath. It's that simple. You may not come out and say, I mean, nobody be stupid enough to say, God, show me your wrath. But if you don't say, God, show me your mercy, because I've sinned. Folks, listen, if we don't see what sin is, you know, I wish I could do better. I wish I was a better orator. I wish I had a better grasp of words, but I don't. I'm just a simple old boy. If you don't see something ugly, you won't want it made beautiful. Do you know what the word blessed means? To beautify. To make beautiful. Well, if you don't see yourself as ugly, you would never want yourself made pretty. If you don't see your sin as ugly in your life, if you don't see your life as ugly with sin, you'll never want God to show you mercy and make it pretty. That's why I say, look, if a person professes Christ as Savior, and you can't see the beauty of Christ in their life, something wrong. Something wrong. So here's what he says. Wash me thoroughly from... What does that tell you? Oh, sin's dirty. Sin. My mother used to say, get out of here! What do you mean tracking mud in on my clean floor? Well, that's what God will say to these people, folks, that try to come to His presence dirty. What do you mean coming into my perfect, pure, clean place with dirt? Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You know, that's why He shuts the door, folks. Huh? Listen, He shut the door on the ark. He shut the door on the five virgins too, bless God. Huh? He shuts the door. You're not going in. You're not going to bring dirt into His place. He's done too much to clean it up, hallelujah. You're not going to do it. This world's not going to. Listen, they can whistle by the graveyard all they want to. They're going to find out one of these days. You ain't going in dirty. So David says, I want to go in, right? I mean, if he didn't say that, if he wants to stay out, he'd just stay out. But he said, no, I want to go in. So he says, oh, Lord. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins, ugly folks. Oh, make no mistake about it, sin's ugly. I don't care if it's a small sin, a medium-sized sin, or a large sin, it's ugly. And then he says this, against thee, and thee only. Now I'm going to give you an illustration. It's just an illustration. It's just a hypothetical, so don't run out and start rumors on me. Let's say that I'm unfaithful to my wife, that I have an affair. Have I sinned against my wife? Huh? No, I haven't. No, I haven't. Hey, I've sinned against God. I can't sin against my wife. My wife can't sin against me. Listen, I'm just like her. She's just like me. You can only sin against the sinless one.
Yeah.
Listen, it's bad. It's awful. It's ugly. It's filthy. It's dirty. It's sin. But we have to realize it's sin against God. That's why David said, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, O God. Sin is against God. And if we'll understand that, we'll walk, talk, and do different. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the... Isn't that what we're talking about? Do you know what believing God is? Remember I said it's not up here? Believing God is truth in the inward parts. Well, what is truth? Remember that Pilate said that? What is truth? Well, I can answer that for you, old pilot. Jesus is the truth, folks. This book is the truth. Hey, it says faithful and true are these sayings. So when you hold up this book, you're holding up truth. So if you walk contrary to this truth, how are you walking? Untruthfully. You're walking untruthfully. Don't go out here and tell people that you're walking truthfully if you're walking not according to this. So he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Isaiah 1:18, in case y'all forgot, that's where we started. Huh? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's what David was saying. Lord, I got to get rid of my sin. Now listen, a person that's lost has got to get rid of their sin. Or they're still lost. But folks, listen, saved people got to get rid of their sin too. I'm talking about in the flesh. Now, the inner man, the new creation, a sin will never touch the inner man. Remember who told you that? That person that he's created that's on the inside, not a sin will touch it. You know why? Because he's in Christ. It's in Christ. It's the flesh. It's the outward part that man sees that sins. That's why Paul says, kill it every day. Get rid of it every day. He says, it is no longer I, but it is the sin that dwelleth in me. That is, he says, in my flesh. So what is it we've got to battle every day? The flesh. Where is it Satan comes throwing the darts? Listen, I'm going to tell you something, and you can throw this in the trash or you can read it aloud all about it. I don't care. Bless God if you listen to the world's music, if you watch the world's TV, if you watch the world's music, if you watch the world's movies. Bless God, don't get upset if the sin comes roaming. It's going to be there because all you're doing is feeding the flesh. And the flesh, he says, listen, if you will walk in the spirit that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. But know what do? Bless God, we'll nudge right up to the world. We'll get just as close to the world as we can. Then we wonder why our lives are upset and our lives are in turmoil all the time. Come out from among them, he says. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. I will be your God. No. Well, now, Tom, that's what they used to preach back in the 50s and 60s. We're in the 21st century. Well, let me tell you something. God don't know centuries. Hey, like that. God don't know a century. God's been in the present forever. So if you live till tomorrow, he was there before you got there. Hey, like that. Isn't that good? That's good. But if we're going to, listen, if we're going to nudge up to the world, let's don't expect to have our lives looking the way God wants it to look. Because I'm going to tell you something. What will come in? I wish I had Rick up here. He could tell you. But I don't know. I'll give you a good example. Brennan. You know, I came in this morning with my phone. And I said, Brennan, get these words up there real quick. I said, all you got to do is paste and post, right? He said, no, you don't paste and post. You got to go to Word. And you got to do this. And you got to do that. In 5 minutes, he had it up there. So what came out? What he put in. What's going to come out of our lives? Bless God what we put in. If you don't put this book in your life, don't expect this book to come out of it. Now you say, Tom, why'd you say all this? Well, because of Romans chapter 4. You got to hurry over there because I got to finish real quick where I want to go. Now he's going to switch from Abraham to David. That's why I read you those two Psalms, because that was David. See, that was a man after God's own heart. Now, the reason he was a man after God's own heart is because he acknowledged his sin, and it was always before him. He knew that he had sinned against God and God only. He knew that. Listen, it wore him out. He said, the hand of God is heavy on me. I can't take this. My bones are waxing old. I can't stand sin in my life because it's an affront to God. If that's not how you believe and think, you're contrary to this book, folks.